Welcome to Firepower. Well, the Empire is striking back, and we are going to talk about this tonight. Because of several devastating losses, the ruling class is striking back on several fronts, and the gloves are off. They feel their control is slipping away, and in response, censorship has turned militant. Courts have handed down harsh, woke decisions, and campuses are becoming militant and more secretive with parents. Well, we're going to talk about this and more. Let's go ahead and play this clip.
So Kyle, you are out in Connecticut and you recently pulled your children out of a public school system there. What was it that led up to that decision?
So there have been a lot of moves that have happened at the school level over the last couple of years. And this brother was really the straw that broke the camel's back. The latest incident was when the principal at the elementary school stood in front of a pride flag and forced all the students to watch a 45-second long video where students declared that, you know, if you're a boy but you feel like a girl, you could be a girl or you could be a they or you could be whatever you want to be. We have replaced education with indoctrination. And this has been getting worse and worse over the last couple of years. This honestly, arguably, wasn't even the worst thing that happened. This was just the final straw.
Was this at an assembly the school held for Pride? You know, you said that the principal was in front of a Pride flag. They show this video. What was the context of why they were doing this?
Morning announcements celebrating Pride Month. And again, we're talking about a school that over the last couple of years has been reading our books, reading our kids' books about transgender crayons and racist white police officers and families of illegal immigrants that feel like they're being discriminated against. And the school has been working extraordinarily hard to hide all of this. Brother, my wife put it best when she said, if this was such a crucial and important topic that you had to talk to 8-year-olds about it, then why was it not so crucial that you had to alert the parents about it?
So you were not contacted, the families were not, because a lot of times schools will reach out and say, we're going to do this event, you can opt in or out. There was no communication?
None. Not only was there no communication, but when called out on it by the media afterwards, the principal essentially doubled down on it and made it very clear that they have no responsibility to tell parents about it. When parents started complaining about these books that were being read to the kids, the principal's response was, well, we haven't had other parents complain about it, to which everybody pointed out, nobody knew about it. You didn't alert anybody. And her response was, well, we don't have to.
It seems like they're complaining now, though. I mean, that's the interesting part. I mean, it seems like you and others, it's not just you, are voicing concern about this now that you know about it.
That's correct. And here's the thing. I didn't want to be in this fight. I didn't want to take this fight because I didn't want my kids to end up being discriminated against or retaliated against in the schools. With the work that I do, I already deal with enough haters, right? But now they've come after my kids and they've come after all of our kids. And here's the thing. We are in a red community. And so people who are in conservative communities tend to think this isn't happening in my school. This isn't happening in my town. It is happening right under our noses and nobody knew. And everybody's afraid to speak out about it because they're afraid that the schools will retaliate against their kids. They're afraid of, like, I woke up this morning to death threats, threats of violence, promises to come after our kids. I'm being told that I'm a homophobe, a sexist, a racist, all because we are fighting to protect innocent children.
Wow. Righteous anger right there stirs up in this Papa Bear. Let me tell you that. Mario Murillo, I want to welcome you to the broadcast. By the way, please like and share this broadcast. We are being censored on social media. And we really appreciate your help in sharing. Mario, they're talking about indoctrination instead of education. What do you have to say about this?
The first thing that we need to zero in on is this. There has been an intense strike back from the Empire. The ruling elites in the last several weeks have intensified their forces. One of the things this father didn't mention is that while it's been building up and he's noticed it and his kids aren't being taught, given an education, and he's pulling them out, is that it was in the last several weeks that this has gone to an intense level. And it's multifaceted. It's in the courts. It's in entertainment. It's in on campus, as you're going to see tonight. And the flurry of all of this backlash is against what's going on in America. Americans are sick of it. They're done. They don't want it. And the ruling elite says, we've got to do something now. We've got to attack. We've got to enlarge our control. We've got to threaten with new health restrictions that we're going to bring back. We've got to intimidate people on a public level. And we're going to show you tonight not only what is going on, but what Christ wants us to do about it. How do we, from the word of God and the power of God, overcome this? Because what they're really hearing is what the Bible says about the devil. Todd, what does the Bible say about Satan? He knows his time is short, and therefore he has come with great wrath. That is what this means.
Like a roaring lion, he's coming seeking who he can devour. And of course, as we've been pointing out in the last several broadcasts that we've done, they're coming after the kids. And this is really the main battle right now, where the battle is playing out in the schools. You know, I was thinking about this, Mario. When I was in school in Los Angeles County back in the 80s, you know, my mom was able to opt out. She heard about it. And that way back then, they were starting to slowly trickle out this type of curriculum in California, but it was just the infancy stages of it. And my mom actually opted me out. It was actually a little bit of an argument that had to take place with the administrators at the school, but they let me sit in the library during the sex education part where they were talking about the LGBTQ. And this is many, many years ago. Fast forward to now, they're not even telling the parents. And no. And they're rolling this out in like a morning, you know, broadcast or morning, you know, where they get together in the assembly hall, and they just pretend like this is normal. This is, you know, this is part of life. And they're planting these seeds in these little kids' innocent brains who are like sponges. And this is why there's been such a backlash in the Christian community, and even just, you know, any secular parents that are pulling their kids from these government schools, and they're actually homeschooling in the droves. We've never seen such an uptick of homeschooling. This is the response, because now the people are no longer trusting the schools. They're no, and so what's happening here, Mario? What are you seeing from a spiritual standpoint?
Well, I think from a spiritual standpoint, we have to believe in the victory of God over evil. People that are watching, listen to me. Not everyone can afford to take their child out of public school. Right now, we're on the streets of Los Angeles, and miracles are happening. I mean, you're seeing behind me a picture of the tent from Colorado Springs that's going to be in Los Angeles in less than 2 weeks. And our workers told me this, our leaders. We've never seen people more open to the gospel, not in Colorado, not on Highway 99, not on the East Coast, nowhere we've been, Florida, can match the openness to God that we have watched on the streets of Los Angeles. Now, the enemy knows this. The enemy feels this. And so what he's done is these draconian reactions, these knee-jerk reactions. But notice one thing about the way that it works. It's going to be blatant. And so we understand, and I want to get to this, not everyone can leave the public school. There are millions trapped in California in the inner city. There's no hope of them training their kids at home. They can't do it. They got to go to work. That's
right.
So the miracle has got to be on campus. That's where the miracle's got to happen. We have got to defeat these teachers' unions. We've got to defeat this agenda. We've got to bring to bear. And we're going to watch in a few minutes school boards that have voted this out and how they're being treated for voting it out. But that's the victory. That's what we've got to build on. And we got to learn, Todd, how to understand, and you'll see it tonight, how 90% of the threats that the left is leveling against us will not pass muster. Now, let me tell you something that's very controversial. There are prophets predicting that Trump's indictments are all going to fail. I'm kind of amused by that, because predicting that these shallow, empty, legal posturing is going to have any effect on Trump is like, to prophesy that is like prophesying a mustache in Mexico. Everybody knows that the indictments are going to fail. They're all going to fail. And to prophesy just shows, come on now, are we down to that now? Let's get wise, folks. What we're up against is shadow, mirrors, smoke. It's inflammatory, exaggerated, and we'll watch tonight how we can take these straw arguments, these straw man arguments, and defeat them in the name of Jesus, which is what we're going to talk about. But I want to tell you what's happened to education, and then I want to comment. We've gone from content to emotion. So it's the emotion. Secondly, we're reversing and calling darkness light and light darkness. So these educators are saying, we're the ones that are for equality. No, you're not. You're taking an absolute minority of people and forcing the majority to adjust their values, their life, and how they live so that these individuals can have an exaggerated place in the culture. Next, they don't know how to read and write. In the schools where the LGBTQ agenda is the greatest, the reading is the worst. The math is the worst, and the children are failing. Where is the equality in that? Where you say, well, we're a civil rights movement. Well, there, you want to take away a child's rights? Make them unemployable. Make them somebody that can't find a job. You want to help their self-esteem. I talked to an educator and said, well, we don't go by grades anymore because we want them, not their self-esteem, to be ruined. So you send them into the world with no education. They can't get a job. What happens to their self-esteem then? That's why I believe we have strong arguments. We're in a strong position, and they're screaming and yelling because they're losing power.
That's right. You know, I think of George Orwell's saying, I think it was, he said, in a world of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. It's like what you said, you know, they're calling evil good, they're calling good evil, exactly what the Bible said. I have a friend, Mario, that's running for a school board position in Orange County. And I'll leave this person on name right now, but, you know, she is dealing with threats. She's dealing with people that are calling her, emailing her, writing her letters. And we had a conversation about this. And the deal is this is the left's playbook. They want us to be intimidated. Actually, it's the devil's playbook. He wants us to be intimidated, and he wants us to back down, and he wants us to feel surrounded. And I love what you said earlier, because the truth is we are on the winning team. I think about the scripture says it's the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. That's better interpreted. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage. And this is bondage that they're trying to put on our kids. They're trying to indoctrinate them instead of educate them. When we look at our adversaries around the world, in China and Russia and other places, they're educating their kids. It's been like a flip, Mario, that's happened. In Russia, there's actually more morality being taught than here in America right now. And so what is this? What is the root cause of this? Well, I believe it's because we've been absent in politics. We've withdrawn, and we've gone in the four walls as the body of Christ instead of doing what you're doing out there in Los Angeles. That's why I love being aligned with you and on this broadcast, because you are a soul winner. And I think this is so important, because we were talking about this the other day. I've been involved in many events in the Christian world over the years, and some of them have been very expensive. They've rented out coliseums and big venues and millions of dollars just to put on the event. And it blew my mind, Mario. There was no altar call. It wasn't soul focused. And I'm not here to critique everybody in the body, because I'm part of the body, but here's the deal. We've got to make it soul focused. Like you said, we've got to win the souls and the hearts and minds of the folks. That is the Great Commission. And that's what you're doing in Los Angeles, hitting the streets and then bringing the folks together and letting them feel the presence of God, which is happening in the tent. I'm very encouraged. I think it's going to be a game changer in Los Angeles. It's just so interesting. Leading up to the tent, there's so much happening in California. Just the past few weeks, California has been in the news over and over again, whether it's a small earthquake or that tropical storm that hit. We're seeing all the department stores having big groups of people coming in and raiding their purse department. You know, it's like a ground zero, Mario. What would you say about it?
Yeah, you know, and you're noticing something that's going on right now, is you don't resort to threats as a movement until you've run out of ammunition. This is how you know that a leftist is at the end of their rope. They call you a racist. They call you a homophobe. They call you transphobic. The name calling is their last resort, because the arguments aren't there. The substance is not there. And because they feel, hey, my audience is no longer listening to me. There was a time when you could threaten people that way. But why are the threats so virulent? Why are they so violent and intense? Because they are running out of time and ammunition. Now, I want to say the tent crusade that we're doing is going to be September 10th through the 13th. It's going to be a week from Sunday, this coming Sunday, and it's going to be at the Fairplex in Pomona. And let me tell you, there are now about 100 churches that have signed on to sponsor this event. And they're all over LA, specifically in the Inland Empire. And we're thrilled that we have several hundred volunteers. There's still time for you to volunteer, but I'm going to tell you, any one of you that are listening anywhere near LA, there are going to be healings. There are going to be deliverances. There are going to be miracles of people being transformed because the hour is so desperate. You need to bring someone. If you know someone that lives on the West Coast, you call them and say, you better be there and bring someone. But I want to finish what to your point. We are at a time where we have to understand that the screaming, the yelling, the accusation is a moment of desperation. So we have got to understand, where is the greatest threat? It isn't the left. It is the complacent Christian that is the threat. It isn't coming from the other side. The problem is not coming from the other side. They're screaming and yelling. They're acting like Dracula with the sun coming up. They want to get back in their coffin and shut up. What's not happening is the groundswell of rallying of the body of Christ to stand up and say, give me my rights, my country back. Here's what the Constitution says. Here's what the educational code says about me as a parent. You cannot do that with our kids. You cannot talk to them without me knowing it. We're going to show that in a few minutes. And how completely stupid the left's reaction is to the crisis. And I think we're going to ask for that second video right now. This is in California. And listen, folks, the state of California is suing parents for wanting to know what is being taught to their kids and suing them because they have put in a policy in a public school system in Chino, California, and in Temecula, right where we are, by the way, reaching out. California Attorney General is suing parents to force them not to be able to have parents' rights over this situation. So let's roll that video right now.
This policy is destructive. It's discriminatory.
California Attorney General Rob Bonta taking aim at the Chino Valley School District. Bonta announced the state is launching a lawsuit to block a parental notification policy over gender identity, which the Chino Valley School Board passed earlier this summer. Under the policy, teachers and other school staff are required to notify parents if a child changes their pronouns or gender identification.
The policy discriminates against transgender and gender nonconforming students. It violates their constitutional rights and violates their civil rights.
The policy has ignited passionate reactions.
If you're gonna yell, just do stand up, yell, and then leave.
Board meetings like this one have unraveled, with angry parents and students clashing. We spoke with Chino Valley School Board President about the Attorney General's legal challenge.
This was just another kind of ploy to say, hey, any other school districts, you could possibly face a lawsuit. But for me, I'm proud of our district. They're going to continue to put their feet in the sand, and we're not going to give up. I mean, we're going to stand in the gap. We're going to continue to push back. We're not going to let the government bullies bully us in any kind of compliancy.
Critics of the notification policy say it poses a potential serious safety risk for children in unstable homes. But board members say they have put protections in place.
The reason why I brought this policy forward was to put protections in place, because I see people like Bonta, Newsom, and Thurman. I call them the political cartel bullies, I feel like they are after our children, and policies like this put safeties in place for our most vulnerable children.
Have there been any LGBTQ organizations who have endorsed this new policy?
I wouldn't say organizations, but there's definitely people who are in that community that are supportive and behind us.
But there are many who oppose the policy, including Christy Hurst, a mother of three kids who was also a teacher in the Chino Valley School District for 14 years. She now works for a nonprofit, Our Schools USA.
Educating children works best when you have engaged parents with caring teachers working together to create a safe space for all children to learn. And this policy does the exact opposite of that. This policy has done nothing but make students afraid to go to school.
Okay, I got a comment right away. Whenever I pick up on a flipping the script, let's take exactly what it is. So what did Bonta said? By the way, we need to pray for that lady that is standing against the cartel in California. But what you've got to see is that Bonta is saying this violates their civil rights. Well, you know what? The thing about bologna is no matter how thin you slice bologna, it is still bologna. And I'm being very Christian right now about this. When you tell me, you have to use a pronoun with me. When you say to me, I am going to be known as such and such, that's how I self-identify. And when you don't go along with what I have said I should be called, you are violating my civil rights. That's absolutely false. It's the opposite. You are violating my freedom of speech. The Constitution protects me specifically from having to admit a label to anybody on anything for any reason. So freedom of speech is killed by this idea, and how they love it. See, this is what I really love is when the left claims to be for the Constitution whenever it agrees with them, supposedly, but they're against the Constitution, and the institutions of learning are actually trying to work right now to usurp and get rid of our Constitution. So they'll say, oh yeah, we're for the Constitution until we're against it. But this is not a case of a child being endangered. The child who thinks that they're gender fluid is not endangered when another child says, I don't want you to call me a boy when I think I'm a girl. You have got to endorse what I say I am. Well, the old adage, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. The entire philosophy here is that words are the equivalent of violence. And when a society goes down that road, you simply have to understand that if you empower someone, that you have to kowtow to their definition of morality, their definition of reality, and their definition of what's right and wrong, and you don't have a personal right yourself, that's where the tyranny comes in. And that's why they're lying. That's why this lawsuit is going to fail.
That's right. You know, I want to give kudos to the churches in the area in Chino Hills. You know, I think of my friend Jack Hibbs has got a church there. Gina Gleason is very, very much involved with Real Impact and many that are in this fight. You know, I fought in California for many years. I know the warriors out there. And look what the impact of one very active church in Chino Hills, and you see this type of thing in the school board, that's now this has become a major issue. Imagine if every, you know, mega church in America started getting protecting the Bible, protecting the Bible and standing for our freedoms and our religious liberties. Just that. We don't even have to get political because I know some people get worried about that. I'm just talking about just stood for the Bible in school board meetings in the community. This is what you see. And this is a uniparty state. This is a state where there's literally one party in control. I remember, Mario, they tried to make it illegal. They called it the homeschool bill. And they were trying to make homeschooling in California illegal. Well, a bunch of parents and a bunch of activists flooded Sacramento, and it was through the hallways, all the way out the doors. We flooded that place, and activists were outside speaking the truth on megaphones. And I'm going to tell you something, that bill got tabled. They didn't put it through. Just like several other bills, it's been the same thing, but it's taken a major battle. It's a spiritual battle of light versus darkness, where the church is, you know, we interceded, we prayed, we fasted, we got active at the community level, and we showed up and something shifted. And I just think this is a real good teachable moment right now. We think about this, because why is this battle happening in this area? It's because of people that have gotten involved. And imagine if we do this in every community around the country. This is their biggest nightmare. They don't want to see an activated church standing for the truth of the word of God. They don't want to see a vocal church. They want us to remain inside the four walls. Actually, they want us to close down. It looks like they want to shut us down again. I mean, that's really what they would, if they really could do that, but they can't. And they're not going to. The church is going to occupy until he comes. And I think they've awakened a sleeping giant, Mario. And I think that California could flip if they keep going this direction.
I really believe that California could become a red state from what I've seen preaching all over the state, up and down the valley. They are that close to, let me tell you something. One last point I want to make about pronouns. Jesus saw the man in the Gadarenes had several thousand devils. And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." But you know what? Jesus never said, "Hi, Legion." He didn't use the pronoun that devil wanted him to use. He simply took authority over the situation. That's how Christ dealt with a pronoun. Now let's move on to what you just said about California flipping. California is on the verge of a spiritual awakening. But here's the problem. We have a ruling party. We have to understand that in America, there is a ruling class that have control and have power. So that's why I believe we're never going to see the results we want without an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on millions of Americans who will cast off and nullify this ruling party. You know, one of the things that people don't remember about history is that Jesus Christ is the reason that the Roman Empire fell. That system that was in the world, so entrenched for over 1,200 years, was toppled by a carpenter from Nazareth, and the philosophy and the truth and the gospel that he preached. That's why I believe, yes, we got to vote right. Yes, we've got to be involved in every aspect. We need to be at the school board meetings. We need to be engaged in community. We need to win local elections and flip these DAs that are George Soros funded. But on top of that, there has to be that towering faith in the power of God to win America back to Christ. Because here's what's going on. America's in sin. America's in rebellion. America has crossed the line and is shaking its fist at God. And that's why preachers need to understand their first duty is to say, repent and believe the gospel and turn to the truth. That's going to make the woman want to keep her baby. That's going to make the young man drop his drugs. That's going to solve the hate, the inequality, and the fear. But at the same time, we cannot deny the evil that's on the left. We can't. See, this is what I feel so many Christians can't do. They can't put it together. Yes, we've got to be politically involved. And there's some that say that's all we got to do is talk politics, 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 politics. And then the other side that says, no, there's a spiritual answer and there's a moral answer. There's a miraculous change of heart. That's true, but not without this. We need to be politically active and spiritually active. Put it together. This is why the Marines don't hate the Navy, don't hate the Air Force, and the Army doesn't hate the Marines, because they know that in a war, all of the armed forces must be in sync and working together. That's why we need everybody and everything, because to change this nation is going to require something, Todd, that we have never seen before. See, that's a very intimidating thought. America needs a miracle that no one has ever seen before. But on the other hand, That's the way our God works. That's what the Bible is. One chapter after another is a miracle that the previous chapter never saw. No one had ever seen an ocean split until Moses. No one had ever seen the sun stopped in the sky until Joshua. And no one had ever seen the world darkened like it was on that Good Friday when Christ died and the earthquake came and many who were dead in God came alive and walked the streets of Jerusalem. No one ever believed the church would survive the persecution of the book of Acts until the leading demonic person, Saul of Tarsus, was miraculously not only converted to Christ, but became the author of more than 50% of the New Testament. God's got another miracle in his hand, and we've got to be ready for it. But we cannot deny it. We need the prophetic. We need the miraculous. We need Bible teaching. We need pastors that are politically engaged, and we need to elect officials, men and women who are righteous. We've got to do it all. We got to throw everything at the devil, including the kitchen sink, Todd.
That's right. It's all hands on deck. You know, I think about what you're saying. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Think about that scripture. It's impossible. And this is a moment where we got to have big faith. We got to be like David that's looking at Goliath and saying, I'm going to get you. I'm going to, you know, I have the God of heaven and earth on my side. And to your point, Mario, it is a, you know, when they talk about abortion, when we talk about this gender fluidity nonsense that they're selling out there, all this stuff, this is spiritual at the highest level. This is a spiritual battle. Anybody that doesn't want to get involved in politics, think about what we're dealing with here. It's a spiritual battle, and we have to get that through our heads as Christians. We have to understand that, you know, David had to go to Goliath to fight that battle. That's where the battle was at that moment. Right now, this is where the battle is at. These are the fronts. What we're talking about on this broadcast are the fronts of the battle. But here's the thing. We also have the weapons of our warfare, and we have the tools, and God has set us up for success. But it's going to take us activating what the scripture says to do. And that's why we don't want to fall into vain imaginations and some of the nonsense that certain people are speaking where they say, you don't have to do anything. I'm so thankful that you said repentance, Mario, because that has to be the message according to 2 Chronicles 7:14. It's the recipe for revival. It's what our nation needs. You know, I've been concerned. I just want to kind of voice this on the broadcast because I know a lot of people from different parts of life and some are even in the government are watching this show. We've got to get men of God around Donald Trump that are willing to speak the truth to him, that are willing to share not only the gospel message, but about repentance and what this nation needs to do. You know, there's been a lot of Christian leaders, some of them I know, dear friends of mine, that have been around the former president and have, you know, there's been a lot of photo ops. There's been a lot of stuff that's happened, but I would love to see men of God and women of God saying, Mr. President, this is what we need to do to win our country back. And I really think we're at that pivotal moment of decision right now.
Amen, brother. We have to say it all. We have to say it all. Now, here is a weapon that the devil is not ready for. Women. Women are going to rise up. Let me tell you something, young lady. You are not on this earth as a cruel accident. It's not a joke. You're here for a reason. One of the mistakes that the left has made is to turn its back on women and women's dignity and women's identity, and to victimize women in a way we've never imagined in America. Now, we're about to look at a story of something that's happening in a sorority and how a man who claims he's a woman is living in a women's sorority. And the judge, they sued. And what happened next is truly a shame. But I want the shame to be front and center so that we can talk about how women are going to rise up. So let's roll that video right now.
All of the bathrooms are shared spaces. There are about three, four, if you count the guest bathroom, and they are shared spaces. There are no private changing areas for when you shower. There are no locks on the showers, and it's very open and vulnerable.
Oh my goodness. And this person's moving into the sorority house next year?
What's interesting about that, Megan, is that there has been an exemption granted for him, for his safety, but not for these young women.
¶¶
All right, there we go. Where is the National Organization of Women, Todd? Where are they?
Great question. They are missing in action, apparently.
and I'm telling you that this is so glaring and so beyond the pale. How did it happen that the left put itself in such a vulnerable position to do stupid things like what we just saw? Because they never thought through their ideology. They never thought through what is the end game of legalizing everything, of decriminalizing everything. What is the end game? At some point, by doing that, you become the oppressor that you thought you were battling to get rid of. You become the racist that you claimed you were against. You become the arbitrator of evil that you claimed. Google had a saying and a motto. It said, do no evil. Don't do anything evil. That was before they believed in censorship. That's before they believed in canceling people's careers over not agreeing with their ideology. So in the name of equality, we've created a higher level of discrimination than we've ever known before. And now we're victimizing people in the name of getting rid of victimization. See, they'll look at that man that's in the sorority and say, he's the victim. He's the victim. Does it look to you from their descriptions that he's behaving like a victim or an oppressor? That's the question. And so here we go. Now we come to the point we really need to face. Should we be obeying laws that are evil? Is it going to be enough for the church? You know, right now, what's the next thing? They want to bring back medical mandates. We got to be careful what language we use because we could be censored over that. Believe me, we're already beyond the pale on that. But I'm going to act like we're still being careful. Mandates that will affect airlines, mandates that will affect children again. Because why? We've got to keep control and keep power. We've got to say that another threat is arriving that justifies us taking authority over people's gatherings and people's worship. This time, we've got to say no. This time, we've got to rise up. This time, we've got to dust off an important fact that it is Donald Trump who is in the crosshairs now. It is Donald Trump who's in the crosshairs. We look at every charge that's been leveled against him. Okay, I don't believe Trump is perfect. I don't believe he's a pastor. I don't believe that his tweets are my idea of civil communication. But you know, they said that about General Patton too, didn't they, brother? They said that.
That's right.
And Patton was the only American general that Hitler feared. And right now, we need a wrecking ball. We don't need Mr. Rogers. We need a wrecking ball. And so I look at it, and let's talk for a minute because I want to ask you a question. Yeah. Don't you believe that at this moment that Donald Trump is being unfairly targeted on every conceivable level? What do you think is the reason that they are so completely deranged about Donald Trump? Tell us, Todd.
Well, they fear him. They fear him. They're so afraid of him because they know the reality of how many people want to see him president. They know. I think I just saw a poll, Mario. I can't for sure, but it was around 20% of African-American voters now want to vote for Donald Trump. That's unprecedented for a Republican candidate. They know, they see the real numbers and the real polling, and they're scared to death. And so they are throwing everything, like you said, at him to try to stop him from getting a fair and free election. Now, will that happen? That's the question. But the deal is they know that if it were that he would win, and I believe he'd win in a landslide. And so they're afraid of losing control. They're afraid. Think about everything that they've done in the last couple of years here. Imagine if the Republicans were in power again, and they could reverse, not only reverse what they've done, but also go after the people that have actually done the things that they're accusing Trump of doing. So this is really a fight or flight for them. I mean, if you think about it, they're backed in a corner like an animal. And you know what happens when an animal is backed in the corner? They don't know what to do. That's why they're throwing everything at this man. It is a spiritual battle. We've got to be praying for him And this is really, I mean, it's so much bigger because the whole world is watching. The world order is in the balance. I mean, there's so much in the balance with this next election. Could you imagine 4 more years of the same policies, what we've seen when we withdrew from Afghanistan? We left billions of dollars of equipment there. The worst withdrawal in the history of our country, just making us look like a mockery. You know, all the policies that have happened in the Ukraine, the economic policies, the signing on to all the UN treaties and the Paris Climate Accord and what's happened in, you know, the Korean Peninsula. I mean, I can just go on and on. China saber rattling. I mean, look what's happening. We need to have a change in our country. Everybody knows it. And now it's this pivotal moment, and we're going into this election cycle. Now, there's an article, Mario, that I would love for you to talk about. It's an authoritarian ruling class mulls post-Civil War measures to bar Trump from presidency. Tell us about this article.
This article in The Federalist says the American ruling class is now discussing Trump and Trump voters as a conquered people who have to be dominated and kept out of the system. So what they're doing is they're referring to a law, an amendment that happened after the Civil War. And it's interesting, the left wants to use it on two prongs. One, it's the 14th Amendment. They want to use it, number one, to allow more debt and raise the debt ceiling. And the second is there's a byline in there that talks about insurgents and rebels. And what it was designed for is that no one who was in the Confederate Army, nobody in Confederate leadership, and no one who supported the Confederates could hold public office in the new America. That was the statement there. So what they want to do is tell you, this is what the Democrats are doing, and I want you to watch this. They are so at the bottom of the barrel that they have reference the 14th Amendment as an excuse to disqualify Trump from running for office by saying he was an insurgent on January the 6th and that he was a rebel. Now, this is what I find hilarious. If it says in the 14th Amendment that nobody who's been rebellious against the U.S. Constitution can run for office, well, we've just vacated the entire Democratic Party. Because at one point or another, they have actively sought. When you say, we're gonna change the Supreme Court, so we're gonna change the Constitution. We're gonna change the Constitution to get rid of the Electoral College. We're gonna change the Constitution to do this and that and the other. We wanna get rid of the Constitution. So folks, there it is. It's like, it's almost like the left, what Elon Musk calls the woke mind virus, that's what he calls it. The woke mind virus doesn't see how it looks, is sociopathically disconnected from how they're coming across and how their arguments sound. So what we have here is a clip that we want to play right now about why the 14th Amendment will not work against Donald Trump. So let's roll that right now.
We have, of course, seen lots of people on social media claim that the 14th Amendment would prohibit Donald Trump from becoming president again. So we asked our Verify team to explain what the amendment is and whether experts think it applies. Our sources are the 14th Amendment, the Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts, and two constitutional law experts. Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, casually known as the Insurrection Clause, gives Congress the power to ban public officials from holding office if they, and here's the quote, have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the U.S. Constitution. Our legal experts say there are three points to keep in mind. First, Congress needs to find him guilty of engaging in an insurrection. Next, the Supreme Court would need to rule on whether the president classifies as an officer of the United States. The 14th Amendment says state lawmakers and members of Congress qualify, but it doesn't mention presidents. In a 2010 Supreme Court case, Chief Justice Roberts said that since the president is elected, not appointed, they don't count as an officer of the United States. Finally, even if the Supreme Court reverses course and Congress finds him guilty of insurrection, the former president could serve again if 2/3 of each House chooses to let him.
Okay, I'm going to let you, I'm going to ask you a question right now. Do you see the odds of that, the odds of those three things happening in that order? They're not going to happen. It's just not going to happen.
Super wishful.
Go ahead.
Super wishful thinking. And the deal is, you know, it's funny. The question really is who actually performed the insurrection? That's the real question that we need to be asking. You know, if you think about this, everything is upside down, inside out. They're always looking for some new plot, some new path, some way to, I mean, think about what they've done from the Russia to the Ukraine call. Remember the call, the perfect call?
Right.
I mean, there were so many different things over the course of Trump's 4 years that they did. It was every Friday they had a new bombshell report. Remember that? Washington Post, New York Times, every Friday it was a new hit piece. And then the talking heads would talk about it all weekend. This is what we've endured. The American people have endured for what, 7-8 years now? I mean, it's been unbelievable. And yet here they're still trying to conjure up some new path to get this guy. I mean, they call him Teflon Don for a reason. You know, it's amazing. I honestly, Mario, don't know of any other human being that I can think of that could probably have handled the amount of warfare this man's gone through. I mean, he really has been a really strong guy, if you think about it. And and like you were saying, we're not looking for a pastor in chief. We really need a wrecking ball. That's what Donald Trump has been.
Okay, let me remind you of Geraldo Rivera. When you were a kid, Geraldo Rivera found Al Capone's secret vault. And he made a big deal about it, remember? And he said, you know what? We're going to open the vault. We're going to open it up and we're going to see what's in Al Capone's vault. And when they opened it, there was nothing. I think there was like a gym sock in there. Right. And he was embarrassed on TV. So the left, and specifically in MSNBC, invented what I call the nothing burger. Rachel Maddow, we finally have Donald Trump's tax form right here. We're going to show it to you tonight. And everyone was ooing and awing over it. And I'll never forget how cringy. It was like an episode of Office. It was like you could see the look on the face, you know, we got him now. And they showed the tax form and it was absolutely nothing in there but routine information. And the same thing keeps happening and happening and happening. So now we've come to the point where I think in this show, we need to talk about Romans chapter 13.
Yes.
And I'm going to begin, but I want to turn it over to you because you wrote a wonderful blog about it. And I'm going to ask you a question in just a moment. In Romans 13, and I'm going to find the verse, it says in verse 3, I want to begin, rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. The opening of that verse has been used as a license to tell Christians to blindly follow government rules. Why are we bringing this up? Firepower is a show where we give you content and give you instruction on what to do. Now, we're going to tell you about Christian civil disobedience because we're at that phase. The culture is at the boiling point, and Christian moral resistance is going to be required of us. There are pastors that are going to have to be willing to go to jail. There are Christians that are going to finally decide that the Christian faith is worth suffering for. If we want to save the country, we've got to face it. Now, Romans 13, pastors say, some of them, tells us to obey government no matter what. Now, Todd, why is that not true? Why is that a wrong contextual description of Romans 13?
Because the deal is you obey government unless the government goes against the word of God. You have to always obey higher authority over a tyrannical government. So that's the key. You know, people were throwing this around a lot during the C-19 situation. I won't say the word, but, you know, they were constantly saying, Romans 13, we have to obey. And the truth is, what does the scripture say? Do not forsake the assembling together of the brethren. Lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. And so it was a tyrannical act that was not only usurping our rights, our God-given rights, which our founders believed in, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. They actually were going against the Constitution because the Constitution in the First Amendment says we have the right to assemble and gather. So there was a lot of different things going on there. But you got to think of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. When they were told to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar, what did they do? They stood. You know, there was another one in the fire, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is where we're at, Mario. I believe there is another one in the fire. And we as believers in Christ, you know, when there's nothing left to do, what do you got to do? Stand. We've got to stand. There's something very significant when we stand as believers in Christ, but we cannot bow down to tyranny.
Right now, we've got to decide this, and I'm going to do something in a minute, but I want to ask you, Todd, what do you say to the pastors who might be tempted to shut their doors again under tyranny? What do you say to them?
Yeah. You know what? I have a blog that I wrote, and I'm going to put it back up on my Facebook page at Real Todd Coconato. But, you know, there's several examples in scripture of civil disobedience. The Hebrew midwives disobeyed Pharaoh's wicked command to kill the newborn boys. That's Exodus 1:17 and in Hebrews 11:23. Queen Esther broke the Persian law by going to King Ahasuerus to plead for the Jews in Esther 4:16. And then, of course, you got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which I just talked about a few minutes ago. There's several different instances. The key is that we've got to think, even Jesus himself, you know, when he looked at the Pharisaical laws of the Sadducees and the Pharisees, he was bringing in the new covenant, not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. But he was also targeted. And, you know, that's Jesus himself. What would Jesus do, right? But we know Jesus would not bow down to tyranny and go against the word of God, because he is the living word. And he was there in the beginning, and he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You know, people were trying to tell me, Mario, Jesus would take the Fauci ouchie, you know, which was such nonsense. They said, Jesus, you're talking about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who sits on the throne. He would take the Fauci ouchie. Why would he need to do that? He's the healer. You know, we've got to think about who we are as believers in Christ. Right. We are in it, but we're not of it. And so we can't bow down to tyranny, because listen, these laws, once we lose the freedoms, and usually it takes a war to get them back. If you look at history, and the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. Look at history. When freedoms and rights are taken away, think of Nazi Germany, think of the Bolsheviks, think of the brown shirts, right. You know, think about all the communist revolutions. When the freedoms and rights are stripped, they don't just come back without a major war or some type of huge fight and battle. And so this is why we've got to defend the freedoms that our founders here in this country laid out in such an amazing way in developing this republic and giving us the Constitution, which, by the way, the Constitution is in line with the scripture. And so we as believers, we cannot bow down. We cannot close. That we are going to, I'm telling you, this, we're going to have to face some really difficult decisions ahead, Mario, but we're going to have to be lions and generals and take that stand.
And we got to remember, this time it's going to be different, because this time we know what works, what doesn't work. This time we know where science was manipulated. This time we understand our rights and the myriad of court cases that churches won against the government for what the government did. That's got to be uppermost in our mind. But I want to put the final nail in the coffin of those that believe Romans 13 calls for blind submission to government. Let's nail it. Verse 3, 4, the authorities that are of God are not a threat to the righteous. Okay? For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Therefore, when Christian faith is punished, when a pastor is dragged to prison because he preached the gospel or arrested, that is not an authority sent from God, because it is a threat to the righteous. Now let's watch the most vivid example of that there was. In Acts chapter 5, reading verse 28 in the New King James Version, it says, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? All right, folks, look at it. That was a law. And they're telling them it was a law. Peter, we told you to shut your church. We told you to shut your mouth, and you didn't do it. And then so what did Peter conclude? And look, you filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us, right? They knew they had committed murder in crucifying Christ. So now they're telling Peter, we told you, we gave you a law, we gave you a rule. You didn't obey it. But Peter said, and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. We made a rule and you didn't obey it. Why? Well, I just told you. Because we should obey God rather than man. Here is what every Christian pastor and leader must understand. The authorities reference in Romans 13 is the power of the sovereign God over history to always have someone in a place of influence and power that is a just and proper king. You know, you look at Naaman the leper. He was a general in the Syrian army, but God regarded him because in his heart, he wanted to do what was right. Those men, Hitler rose up against the powers of the world and decency prevailed. That's what this is talking about. Now, there can be evil laws. And it says in Psalm 94, verse 20, shall the throne of iniquity, which devises evil by law, meaning they make evil laws, will they have fellowship with God? Abortion is an evil law. The destruction of marriage between a man and a woman is an evil law. The idea that in schools you should be forced to use a specific pronoun is an evil law. We must resist. We can't look at God and ask God a question. If I'm supposed to obey all civil law, you just told me not to do this. You just told me this was sin. I read your word, God, and you told me these things were evil. And now they're telling me that not only they're not evil, but I should honor them and follow them. You can't do it. That's not what Romans 13 is saying.
That's right. You know what else is going to happen? There's going to be one day where they tell you got to take a mark. And it's going to be government that tells you that. What are the Romans 13 people that are saying, oh, excellent, we got to just blindly obey? What are they going to say at that point? Obviously, we've got to disobey. You know, now, hopefully we'll be out of here before then, but we don't know the day nor the hour. But the deal is that we can never take that mark. And so we've got to get our mind. This is a real time to kind of, you know, just get spend time with the Lord in the secret place and get refreshed and get charged and get strengthened in your faith. And get into the Word of God. And hide it in your heart and ask the Holy Spirit each day for strategy and wisdom. But we've got to really build our fortitude, our tenacity as believers. We got to be like that tree that's planted by the water because tough times are coming. But I believe we're going to not only prosper, we're going to thrive because he's giving us everything that we need to do so. He says that, you know, his plans for us are hope in the future. That hasn't changed. God is with us until the end of the age. He will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. These are his promises, but there is something that we need to do and we can't back down. We can't grow weary in doing good. We've got to stand on the promise of God, which is yes and amen. And so the key is in our mind. Listen, why does he say, don't conform to the things of this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I really believe this is an hour where we really need to take that scripture and understand what it means. We got to renew our mind. We got to be strengthened in our faith, and we can't be conformed.
You know, this is a time to believe in the power of God and to be strong in his might. God is going to pay your bills. God is going to protect your children. God is going to guard your health. Why? Because you're standing for the truth. Yep. The government could end up rising against us in a way we never could have imagined. But greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And that's the power of it. I want to say one more thing. Every Friday night in Gallatin, you are having a move of God, my brother. Tell the people, invite them to come. Where is it?
We are excited. It's right on Main Street. You know, we talked about making the main thing again. We're actually on Main Street. So you can't forget that. 425 East Main Street in Gallatin. We meet Fridays at 6 p.m. And we're going to start meeting Sundays at 11 a.m. as well. This is a breaking news announcement. So we're putting it out there now. It's going to happen in just a few weeks. We're going to make the announcement. But we're first telling the Firepower Army out there, come on out to Gallatin. The Lord is moving. He's moving in Los Angeles from the 10th to the 13th at the Fireproof Crusade. It's going to be amazing. It's just awesome what God is doing, and he's not stopping. And so there's a website, Mario, for people that are in L.A. What is that website so they can sign up?
Oh, yeah. It's proofforla.com. They can go there right now and find out about everything. It's just proofforla.com. And I want to just close real quickly by telling you, make sure you invite someone to come to the crusade. at the Fairplex in Pomona. We call it Proof for LA. Fireproof is a good name too, by the way. I appreciate that.
It just came out of my firepower, fireproof.
That's it. Proof for LA starts at 7 o'clock on Sunday in the Fairplex in Pomona, also known as the Los Angeles County Fairgrounds. And now, in the name of Jesus, by the power of God, Lord, Todd and I totally agree for healing to break out, encouragement to rise, and for pastors who are watching to have their marching orders and no doubt, so that discouragement is broken and the power of the word is released. Lord, we thank you for what you did in this show. And I want to make one closing remark. Can I get away with a closing remark here, Todd? We may need to rescind something we've been telling you, that we are being censored, because apparently hundreds of thousands of people are now watching this show. In fact, the audience has grown far faster than I imagined. I didn't dream that we would have this. You know, you realize that about three shows back reached almost 300,000 views and was shared over 7,600 times.
That's more than CNN, right?
Well, we're
beating the mainstream. Yeah.
The audience has grown remarkably. Tell your friends, we are here for you. Every Wednesday night, we're going to see miraculous things. And I'm going to say God bless you. And I'm going to let Todd, you have the last word, my friend.
Amen. Well, it's humbling and the Lord is moving. What it is it's a hunger, and God is bringing his people, his church, his body together for such a time as this. Mario mentioned women of God that are rising up. There are Esthers in this hour that are rising up. Thank you, Jesus. Young people, the prodigals, the misfits are coming out, and we're seeing it at the church. We're seeing it at the tent. Just remember, put on the full armor of God and know that the Lord is with you. And we're going to be back next week at the same time. Tell your friends. God bless you. We'll see you soon.